How can you tell if an ant is a boy or a girl? Put them in a glass of water. If it sinks, it's a girl ant. And if it floats, it's a boy ant. Get it? Buoyant. Ha 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 ha. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Starting Sustainability. This is episode 161, and I am your host, Kaylin Chenoweth. And now we're going to jump into my favorite part of the podcast, where I tell you everything that's going on in my world. That's right, we're going to catch up with Kaylin. This past weekend, we celebrated Colt's birthday. He turned 4. Colt is my little COVID baby. He was born on April 16th, which is only about 4 weeks after COVID hit and the whole world literally shut down. He did not get sick with COVID, but we do find it interesting that we named him Colt David, and we had that name picked out long before COVID was a thing. But Colt David becomes COVID real quick. And his name is Colt David Chenoweth. So his initials are CDC. Otherwise, he's a really great, happy, healthy, fun kid. To celebrate Colt's birthday, the whole family went to the trampoline park, and that was our experience that we wanted to incorporate in. We also went to the store where he got to pick out a box of cake mix and frosting. That's something else that we do as for an experience, is they get to, each child gets to do that, and they get to make their own cake. We're really big into homemade cakes. They just taste delicious and they're significantly a lot more affordable. Anyways, and then the gift part for his birthday was a Facebook Marketplace find, and it was a balance bike. If you don't know what that is, it's a bike without pedals, but otherwise it looks just like a bike. They sit on it, their hands on the handlebars, and they kind of run and get it go and propel themselves, and then they lift their feet up and they practice their balance, leaning left and leaning right to turn. Once they get good at that, then they can take on a bike with pedals, but it helps them learn to ride a bike a little bit easier. At least that's my understanding. Colt did have a balance bike already, but he outgrew it. They come in different sizes. For his birthday, we got the next size up. And it was still in the box. And I had plans to put it together before his birthday, but it didn't happen. It didn't work out. It was a pre-loved bike, but somehow it was still in the box. But that was fine. And he was very excited about it because then he got to help me assemble it, which also is a lot of fun for a little kid. And this kid was ecstatic. He really truly had a wonderful birthday all day celebration. His birthday was on Tuesday, but we celebrated on Sunday. That way the whole family could do it all day long. Weekends just work out better that way. Everything about the whole birthday celebration was pretty much as sustainable as possible. It's just our lifestyle at this point. And it's everything except for one part. Colt really wanted a balloon. He really, really wanted a balloon. After the trampoline park, right across the parking lot, because it's a little strip mall area, was a Dollar Tree. We drove over there and let him pick out a balloon. I have said no to many balloons previously, and I decided to just let him have a balloon. Even though I know they're so horrible for the environment and this and that, I just, okay, you can have one balloon. And of course, once we got inside the store, Corbin wanted a balloon too, and I said yeah. So each kid got one helium balloon. We left the Dollar Tree, went straight home, and the balloons were tied to their wrists. Corbin got out of the car and immediately untied it. And Channing turned around and warned him, hang on tight and get that balloon in the house because you're going to let go and it's going to fly up into the sky. And Corbin said, no, it won't. And then whoop, the balloon was just carried off. It was a super windy day. It really was very, very windy. And it just, we got to watch the balloon go up, up and away. Now Corbin is crying because he lost his balloon, and Channing is upset because he just warned him, and I'm cringing because I'm afraid of a bird getting caught in it, or landing on a power line, or some animal, like once it pops and falls back down, some animal's gonna eat it and choke on it, and there's all this pollution's all over the place, and it was just, I tried to bring one little bit of joy, and it was just ripped away from all three of us at the same time. Now, back to the trampoline park. Holy moly, that place is expensive. You can buy a pass for 2 hours or 3 hours. We chose 2 hours. I said, let's do 2 hours. I'm pretty sure we're going to be tired by then because that's a long time to be jumping around. We did 2 hours. Thank goodness. And we had to pay for all five of us. Even though Hazley is one, we had to pay for her. And it's not cheap. It was almost $100 for all five of us to jump for 2 hours. But I will say that we were all bouncing around and having an absolute blast. Hazley was non-stop laughing. She was just running and bouncing. And if she would trip and fall, she would just bounce up and down and get right back up. She was having a really great time. And I was concerned about other kids at the trampoline park, like running over her. And they were playing tag and chase and they were running all over. And they would come up and run by her, and then one of them would yell, "Baby!" And they'd all loop around her or slow down, which made me very happy, very proud of the other kids. Thank you so much. We were jumping around and playing and having a blast. And at one point, I turned and I looked at Channing and I said, "Look around you. You and I are the only adults playing at the trampoline park. There are a bunch of other adults here. There's about like 7 or 9 other adults sitting on the various benches and seats offered around the trampoline park. All of the seats were occupied by adults, full. Like if there was a bench, there were 3 adults on there, and every single one of them was staring down at their phone. It's like they forgot how to have a conversation with each other. They forgot how to socialize. It was so weird to me. It's like, this is really eerie that all the adults are just staring at their phone. Luckily, all the other kids were well behaved and good. It was disappointing only because Channing and I were having so much fun. I was like, dude, you and I are having the best time ever, and they are missing out, and they have no idea that they're missing out. They're not playing with their kids the way that we are playing with our kids. And we really did. Like, this was a really cool trampoline park. There was an area where you could do dodgeball, and we changed it to dodgeball tag. So you had to pick up a foamy ball and throw it at somebody, and if you hit them, now they were it, and they had to pick balls and throw it at another person. So we did that for quite some time. And probably because Channing and I were playing, a bunch of other kids who weren't ours came and joined us. And they were all really good. They knew the baby was off limits because Hazley was in there with us running around. And they all did really great. They were gentle. These were older kids who were probably 9, 10, 11. They were there having a birthday party. And our kids are, Colt was 4, but Corbin is 5, almost 6. They're still on the smaller side. But everybody did great. I really, truly was proud of the other kids. We were very nervous about it, but it all turned out really well. There was also a giant foam pit, so you could run and jump on the trampoline and jump up and land in the foam pit. And there was another area where there was a swing, a regular swing, one that adults could fit on. And you'd swing really high and you could jump off the swing and land in the big giant foam pit. So that was really cool. They even had a Ninja Warrior course, but that was very much for adults. And our kids could not do it. And we kept trying to help them do it, but it was definitely for adults. And Channing and I tried and gave up. So we are not the Ninja Warrior athletes that we thought we might have been. I will tell you this. The trampoline park is a workout. So if you're wanting to get into shape, this is a workout. Channing and I do exercise regularly. Regularly, we're working out probably 3 times a week. We're doing some type of cardio or strength training or whatever. We bought a 2-hour session, remember? After 30 minutes, we were looking at each other and said, "How much time is left?" "Oh, we still have 1.5 hours. And that was the beginning of the countdown. And we only made it to 1 hour. At 1 hour, the entire family was wiped. We were all just sitting on the trampolines, like talking and just laying on top of each other. And just, we were done. We were also hungry. And it was Hazley's nap time. I said, "It stinks that we did pay for another hour, but we are all spent right now. We're ready to go home, eat lunch, and just relax." And that's what we did. Overall, Colt's birthday, the trampoline park, it was all a really, really great experience. A really fun story to tell and share with others. I have been in HR for some time now, and I have accumulated some stories. When I get together with friends or talk to them on the phone, I haven't talked to them for a while, these are my top 3 HR stories that I like to tell. And I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure I have not told them on this podcast before. I might have told one, so you might hear it again. But I really don't remember. It's something to do with being consistently sleep deprived that my memory is terrible. The sleep deprivation comes from being a mom, and it's not even that the kids keep me up. It's that when the kids go to bed, I finally have me time and I have to make the decision to go to sleep or finish doing the laundry or watch a TV show that I've been trying to accomplish for 3 days or read 1 chapter out of my book before I conk out. So I do tend to stay up late. Also, Ruger's not doing good, guys. That dog is old. Okay, Ruger is terrified of thunderstorms and fireworks. and smoke detectors going off, that beep beep like when the battery's almost dead. This dog does not handle it very well at all. And the behaviors that we see when those noises happen, he gets real shaky. We'll be home and he'll come right up to us. He gets real shaky. He starts panicking. His whole body is shaking. He's panting like out of a panic. And he can't just be beside us. He has to be on top of us. He'll try to stand on our feet, climb up in our laps, all that stuff. And for the last 2 months, that behavior has been happening every single night. Without thunderstorms, without smoke detector alarms beeping because of a low battery, without fireworks, nothing. There's no noise at all triggering him, and he is in freakout mode. Channing's theory is that he is going deaf, because before I could just be like, Ruger, and he would run across the whole house, and now I have to scream, Ruger, 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 come on. Come on, Ruger, let's go potty, let's go outside. And like, he'll eventually show up. He is going deaf, and our thought process is that when people start to lose their hearing, they will get ringing in their ears, and maybe that's what's happening. It is so bad. Calming treats took it from like a 10 to a 9.5. So we did the maximum dosage of calming treats, and that made it go to a 9. Then we found dog melatonin, which I really did not want to do, because once you start a dog or a human on melatonin, then their body, their brain won't make it naturally. They become dependent on it. So we just did one melatonin to see if it would work, and it did not. So then we did two melatonins to see if it would work, and it did not. The maximum we could give them was 4. We are up to 4 melatonins. This dog is on calming treats, maximum melatonin, and now we have prescription trazodone. And we had to give him 2 of those, not just 1, but 2, in addition to everything else. And it worked for about 2 nights. And for the last 3 nights, this dog has been in full-on panic mode, climbing on the bed, jumping on my belly, standing on top of my hair, trying to sit on my pillow. Ruger's a big dog. He's a pit lab mix. He's 65 pounds. And he's climbing up. He's panicking. He's trying to climb between us. It's really bad. He's the reason I'm so sleep-deprived. That is why when I get to come down to work and stay at the Airbnb overnight, it is the most glorious night with the most deep, beautiful, fully rested sleep that I get all week long. And I treasure it so much. And Channing is very jealous. I try not to brag about it, but oh my gosh, when I wake up the next morning, I'm like, I feel so good. This is what true rest feels like. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Anyways, back to the beginning, which was I wanted to share these top 3 HR stories, and I don't remember if I've shared them or not. So the first one that I like to share with people is we had an employee who was very new, well within her 30 days, and there were a lot of red flags already, just like quirky, odd behavioral things, but didn't actually break any rules or break any policy, but it was just, okay, we have to keep an eye on this girl. There's some odd things about her. And one of the things that came out was she had an emotional support animal. Do you know what that was? It was an emotional support rubber duck. A rubber duck that fit in the palm of her hand. She would keep it in her pocket, and anytime that she was stressed out, she would grab it and hold it and pull it out and pet it and tell people about her duck. And it wasn't a regular yellow rubber duck. It was a blue glitter rubber duck. And that's important because we work in food service. And if you are preparing somebody's food, you cannot stop and start touching and rubbing on a rubber duck with glitter. Glitter can now get into the food that you're preparing. That's a no-no. Also, pretty sure that rubber duck was not washed and sanitized appropriately on a regular basis, which means every time she touched it and she kept it in her pocket, that's really gross and disgusting. Because bacteria breeds in warm, dark places like your pocket. So the bacteria loves. So every time she had touched this duck, she would have to go wash her hands and change her gloves, which is fine, but she wasn't doing it. So it became an issue. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. To each their own, if that's what calmed her down with her anxiety and stuff. But if that's how it's going to be, then food service is not the best job for you. You would have to find a different job or something more sanitary to calm yourself down. Story number 2. There's this gentleman that we offered a job to. He accepted. Okay, now we're going to do a drug test. He missed it. When you order a drug test, you get to pick the deadline, and you have to put a deadline. So I picked 3 days, and he didn't do it. I reached out and said, is there a reason you didn't do this? Oh, I couldn't get it in. Okay, I'll order a second drug test. Okay, this time he did show up to complete the drug test, and then he called me afterwards in a whole panic, and he told me his side of the story. Then I called the drug testing facility and got their side of the story, and here's what I put together. He showed up, gave him a sample, and it wasn't enough. So they said, you have to do it again. He hung out for an hour. He drank a bunch of water. He produced a second sample that was not proper temperature. Take that what you will. So they said, okay, well, you have 3 hours. Like, once you show up and start the drug testing procedure, you have 3 hours to complete it. Okay, a whole hour's gone by. You have 2 more hours, so you can drink some more water and try again for a third go to produce a sample with enough volume at the right temperature. And then this gentleman was telling me it was a Sunday. They were on their way to church or whatever. He had his kids with him. He didn't plan on staying there so long. He had to leave the facility, had to exit the door to go to his car that was parked right outside and let his kids out. And the facility was saying, once you leave, then it's a refusal. And he's saying, I had to go get my kids. And the facility confirmed this. Okay, fine. I get that. You had to go get your kids. That's fine. The order did not go through. Okay, I will give you a third drug testing order. So we did that. He did go and fill it. The results did come back. What do you think they were? That's right. They were positive for non-human urine. I don't know what animal he got this from, but it wasn't human urine. So, address this with the fella who insisted up and down, oh, no, that's mine. I said, okay, I'm going to give you one last shot. I will order one more drug test. You have to leave here right now, go down the street about 15 minutes, and take it. Okay, I'm calling the facility right now. And they are going to be expecting you. And this one will be observed, just so you know. Okay. All right. And this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the facility closed at 5. At 5 o'clock, the facility called me and said he never showed. He then sent me a text and said, thank you so much for this opportunity, but this job is not going to work out for me. Okay. That's fine. It most likely wasn't going to work out. And this is my third and most favorite story to tell about HR. And this only happened about 3 weeks ago. This gentleman applied to an open position, reviewed the resume. Okay, sounds good. I text back and forth with him and ask, hey, when can I do a Zoom meeting with you? Got the date and time nailed down. All right, let me send you the Zoom link. Then I go to his resume and I pull up the email address. I need to send it to the manager that he would be working under and to the gentleman. All three of us are going to be on the Zoom meeting. Okay. What do you think his email address is? Boob Eater number 1 at blah, 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 blah. This guy's the number 1 boob eater. I wonder why he's looking for a job. Apparently nobody told him that you need to get a professional email address when you become an adult if you want to get a job, if you want anyone to take you seriously. That one by far is my favorite to tell people. It's so ridiculous, but this is what happens in HR. These are the stories that I can tell. There's a whole lot more that I cannot tell. And I really wish that I could, because it would make for some excellent content for this podcast. But since I'm still currently in the position, I have to keep my mouth shut. Now I'd like to have a little sustainability moment for you. Corbin is in Boy Scouts, and we get a Boy Scout magazine every month or every other month. Anyways, I was flipping through it and checking out, and I found this short article titled Bizarre Plastic Eaters, and I thought, well, I need to read that. And it's really cool. It's very short, and that's what we're going to learn about today, the Bizarre Plastic Eaters. It's not a secret that plastic is a really big issue in the whole world. Humans all over the world have created 1.9 billion tons of plastic, most of which is swirling around in the ocean. And we all know that plastic does not degrade or decay, and it can remain as trash for hundreds of years, piling up in the landfills, piling up in the oceans, killing all the fish and the wildlife. There is one small glimmer of hope. Scientists think that they have found a solution. Four solutions, in fact. The first one is the waxworm. If you don't know what that is, it looks like a caterpillar. Actually, it's more of a larvae is what it is. So it looks like a larvae worm. How do I describe a waxworm? It's about an inch or so long, and it's pretty fat, and it's white, and it's very, very squishy and plump. I used to have a pet leopard gecko, and I would feed him mealworms and waxworms. So waxworms you can get at any pet store because a lot of reptiles will eat them, if that helps you understand what a waxworm is. Anyways, the waxworm has two enzymes in its saliva that break down plastic at room temperature within just a few hours. The enzymes are produced by the worms feeding on beeswax or honey. The next one is the mealworm, the other snack that I'd get from a gecko. The mealworm uses the microorganisms in its digestive system to eat through the plastic and styrofoam, which, along with plastic bags, is commonly found in waste dumps. The third one is, this is a bacteria. I believe it is pronounced Ideonella saccharinensis, and this is a newly discovered bacteria only within recent years. They will munch on microscopic particles, that's plastic, that is less than 5 millimeters long. So that's all of the microplastics that you see in the ocean and really all over the place. The last plastic eater is called the camphor shoot borer. And this is a little black bug, and it's ugly. I don't know how else to describe it. If I saw it in person, I would kind of get heebie-jeebies. I'm looking at a picture of it, and I've already got heebie-jeebies. Anyways, so the camphor shoot borer is attracted to ethanol fuel. The beetle eats away at plastic items such as gas cans where the chemical compound is located. Isn't that crazy? For the longest time, for 6 years, I've been figuring out sustainability. And it's like plastic is the end all be all. Like you can recycle it a couple of times if it's recyclable plastic. There's lots of plastic that cannot be recycled. And it's going to take 500 plus years to finally start breaking down. And a lot of times, just because it breaks down doesn't mean it disappears. It just breaks down into itty bitty little teeny tiny pieces, the microplastics. So this is really cool that they have discovered not one or two, but four different ways that we can slowly break down plastic and actually make it disappear. That's really cool to me. That is really cool. This is step one. Within the next few years, if anybody listening wants to become a bajillionaire, figure out how to create the enzymes coming out of the waxworm or whatever is in the digestive system of the mealworm. Figure out how to get those, mass produce them. I'm not saying you have to do it with waxworms, but I'm sure you can come up with some chemistry lesson to create it synthetically, artificially, to break down the plastic, which is really cool. Although, if you did create that chemical, how would you store it? Because it wouldn't be in a plastic jug. Maybe you could store it in glass. Hopefully. Anyways, that's for you to figure out. That's your bajillion dollar idea. You get to figure out all the details. How are you going to mass produce it? How are you going to market it? How are you going to store it? Hopefully the enzymes and whatever it is are safe to handle. if it's literally destroying plastic. I mean, wearing rubber gloves may or may not protect you. I don't know. So, but that's for you to figure out, like I said. Either way, this is a really cool first step, and I'm excited to continue following this story because I'm sure it will develop into something really awesome over the next few years, and we will get to witness that. This is monumental. It really is. It is time for the challenge. This episode right now is airing on Earth Day. What are you going to do today to participate in Earth Day? And how are you taking me up on the last episode's challenge, which was tell others what they can do to help be a steward of the earth. Tell them of a switch that they can do. So that was your challenge the previous episode. So this episode now is do it and tell us about it. And if you come up with something else to do, that's also really cool. And I want you to share it, share your experience about it on the Facebook group, Starting Sustainability. What am I going to do? I am going to stand up in front of the church on Sunday. I already talked to the pastor about it, and take 10 minutes to tell everybody how they can be stewards of the earth and give them lots of different simple switches. I know the last episode was like leveling up on switches, but these are all beginners. So we're going to do the simple switches. That's how you get started. And then as you get better, you can grow. But this is to at least get the conversation started. So that's really cool, which means I'll tell about 20 people, which is really good. I think that's pretty good. So that's my plan to help promote Earth Day, which means that when I'm done recording this, I will now go practice my presentation for the people of the pews. And hopefully there won't be any technology issues with the microphone this time around. The next episode will be on May 6th. I have no idea what we're going to talk about at that point in time. I'm still trying to get through today. So tune in on May 6th for a mystery episode. Until then, continue being stewards of the earth and continue saving the world. And I will talk to you all next time. Have a great one. Bye.